And the pitch is swung on, ground ball right side. It's through, a base hit. Racing around third base is Young, and he will score, and the ball gets by all the way to the 413 sign. Here comes Lowe. He scores. Into third base is Jonah Heim, and the Rangers lead 3-0 in the top of the ninth. The ball misplayed out in right center field, and 2-run score.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Bassick's Baseball Basics, we're back at it for opening day.
I just wanted to point out on that play specifically, you can look to the side and see DeGrom in the dugout go, is this really happening? Like, as that play,
that's when I knew we were going to win the World
Series.
Yeah,
he was like, is this really happening right now? It's just, yeah, that happened, and then the World Series, baby.
Now, we've got a whole bunch of...
Must be nice.
I mean...
You had your chance.
Oh, my gosh.
That's something I'd missed for a while.
Well, you didn't have yours, so who cares? At least I was there.
You were.
You win,
but you also lost.
Yeah, I knew. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah,
we both have the same amount of World Series rings.
Now, we talked a little bit about...
Dang it.
Hold on. We'll get back around to y'all squabble. We talked about per diem.
Did you ever pitch in the World Series?
Yes.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah, the Connie Mack World Series there. Won MVP of that one. Did you win MVP of that one?
Nope.
Thank you.
Nobody cares.
Now, yesterday, we were talking about per diem and how much it's changed. Derek, can you walk us through the concept of per diem for yourself as a Major League Baseball player?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, when I first got up there, you made quite a bit. I mean, I think, I want to say, I know Mike said yesterday it was $100 a day. I actually think it was more. I feel like it might have been $150 because it does go up. The union had it set up to where it was going up every year. And then finally, you know, they had voted on it and got rid of it because there's some places you didn't really want to tip the clubbies because of how bad it was. And I, now personally, like, I'm not one of those guys. I always tip those guys no matter what. But there were certain places, I won't say where, but the service was bad. You had expired food, like the snack wise that was in there. You know, you had like certain things, like he was trying to make like smoothies for us and stuff, and it's like nobody wanted those things. It's like, yeah, you're give us the food, whatever it is, we can take care of it. It just kind of wasn't the best, but yeah, the money value went down a lot after that. You were only getting maybe $50 a day now. I'm just guessing it was low, and then the tips are already taken out of the paychecks, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. Now it's just your own tip to the clubbies. Usually you want to take care of the bat boys and stuff like that that are out there because they are working their butts off, and it is something that they could use that helps them go a long ways too. But yeah, the money value changed quite a bit.
Sorry, I missed who texted this in. There's already a lot of questions. What is the purpose of, and this is judgment-free zone, what is the purpose of eye black?
It's just to block the sun. I mean, you're getting more of the... Take away that brightness into your eyes. I never really use it, so I can't
unless
truly
you have blue
say,
eyes, and then you're screwed, yeah, you right?
Have, yeah, it's, day games are tough.
Yeah,
in that time. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, a lot of guys use it also just for, like, let's take Ezekiel Duran. He just uses it to show that he's a believer in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's not using it to help out with the sun at all. He's putting the cross on one of his cheeks. I don't think he does it on both.
Some guys go full Sting or Ultimate Warrior, or they're right, just like making a look on their face.
Right. So sometimes it's just used for
swag.
But other times it can be used to try to help out with the sun. But
I was going to say, you can tell the difference between who's using it for the sun and who's using it for swag.
And for a while there, I don't think people use them anymore. They would use like eye black stickers.
Yeah. Now it's tape. It's like some kind of a tape that goes on there. Because I think the other thing, too, is if you watch some of these guys, they want it to be so perfect when they get on there. So they try to make sure they don't have, like, one stripe is real long and the other one's short and thick. I don't know.
Yeah.
You regret that, don't you?
No, he doesn't.
I knew it was going to happen.
From the 682, can y'all explain the position numbers on the field? I get confused sometimes because 4-6-3, I feel like everybody knows that, but do you know exactly why?
All right, who's on first?
Number three.
Okay.
1-2, pitcher's 1, catcher's 2. First baseman's 3, Second baseman's four. This is where it gets a little bit confusing. First, second, third is 3, 4, 5. You skip over the shortstop.
Yep.
So it's like the shortstop is the extra guy in a weird way in scoring. And I don't know when it started. I'm going to assume early 1900s or late 1800s. I'm not 100% sure, but 3 is first baseman, 4 is second baseman, 5 is third baseman, Josh Jung, and then 6 is shortstop. And then you pop right over to the shortstop. Behind him is 7, left fielder, 8 is center fielder, and 9 is right fielder. So 7, 8, 9, if you look at it that way. Because people would go, and it does get a little bit confusing because you could look at it and go, well, if 3 is first baseman, why wouldn't 7 be right fielder? Why wouldn't you work from right to left if you're working right to left in that? But I guess they're just, for some reason, whoever came up with it was like, it'll be very simple to go first, second, third. We'll go 3, 4, 5. But then when you go to the outfield, you go opposite. And from 6, the shortstop, you just go closest to him, 7, 8, 9.
From the 972, what is the point of the rosin bag?
That's to give yourself a little grip when you're sweaty. I've used that quite a bit. That was one of the things that would help out. You know, when you're at the old stadium, you got to think it was a million degrees out there. So you're sweating. You're trying to find any way to get some grip onto the ball. And that was one of the ways to do it was take the sweat from your hand and just grab the rosin, get as much of that little powder on there, and then go from there.
Yeah, it creates some tackiness once you have sweat or, you know.
I mean, it's not going to be like the sticky stuff like Bauer was using, for instance.
Spider Tack.
I couldn't think of the name. Yeah.
From the 325, can you explain service time? I know it's 10 years, but is it 162 games to count for 1 year, or how does that work?
I just wanted to.
Yeah, Derek knows because
I've got
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, Mike.
Derek's going to be making $1 million when he's 60 years old.
They wanted to ask me that, not you.
Yeah, my service time stinks.
That. Yeah, it does.
I get like groceries for a month.
Well, can you answer the question?
Yeah, yeah. So it's just the amount of days that you're up. That's including the days that you're there during the season. So there's 162. Those off days, instead of it just being games, it does count during the off days as well. So you get guys, for instance, like mine is.
Is it 185?
Yeah, it's
like a full
crazy
season.
Like that. I've done, mine's 13 and I don't know, I'm making this up, but like 56. So it'd be 13.56.
But
whereas
the point
I have 14.
6 doesn't matter at all.
Right, yeah. You just look at the front number anyway. But like I have 14 seasons, but I have 13 years of service time. It's just weird how that is. But yeah, it's counted by the days that you are up in the big leagues.
I have 5 seasons, but I only have a year and change, and that change means doodly squat for my pension.
Yeah, I'm just leaving that.
No,
alone.
No, it's
I'm not looking at your description, not the situation.
And I'm not. The number changes, but literally, just so you know, this is awesome for guys that get 10 years, and sometimes guys will play 6 years, full seasons. Let's just say 6 full seasons. In the major leagues, a guy like Chris Woodward did not play 10 full seasons in the major leagues, but because he was a third base coach and a manager, now he has 10 full seasons. 10 full seasons is going to be approximately, when Derek turns 63 years old, is going to be like $250,000 a year that Major League Baseball gives
probably
him through pension.
Up more, but
and,
yeah. It goes delightful. Up until, yeah, it goes up more until.
Until you start collecting.
Until as soon as I push that button to collect it.
And you can collect earlier, but I mean, literally, that's what you get if you can get 10 full seasons.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, though. You get penalized.
Right. But there's,
I know what you're saying.
My dad took it earlier. He got 3 full seasons, and he did the math and said it'd be best for me to start taking it at like in his mid-50s
sure.
type of deal.
Since both of y'all were pitchers, do you feel like you didn't do your job if you didn't complete the game?
100%. I always looked at it. I mean, I was a starter. I know he kind of did more bullpen, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I'd have to go look. I might have started a little bit more in the majors, but.
But that was like, I learned this from Nolan, and that's why I know, like, once my time comes and I get to coach and help and all that, I want to preach to those guys. You want to be the starter and the closer. I want to start that game, and I want to finish that game. That's my goal every single time I go out there. I'd have, like, in my mind, I try to treat it like a boxer. That's why in my highlight videos that I got from some of the teams I play with, I had boxers. Mike Tyson is in a lot of my videos because I want that attitude of those are my 9 rounds. I'm going to go out there. Yeah, I might get knocked down, but I got to get back up and I got to go take care of business. So I try to preach to those guys is go the distance. Now, granted, We don't see that as much now because the analytic guys got to come into it. So that's the thing that frustrates me the most. I hate it because you can't measure something in a game like that. If I don't care what the numbers say, the heart's going to show me a lot more. When I see a guy that's dominating out there, I don't give a rat's butt about what's going to happen the third time through. Right now, he is shoving, so let's let him keep going.
I didn't feel that way if I didn't throw a complete game. I felt like when the manager came to take the ball from me, my job's done. Yeah. I can't do anything about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying. Before the game started, I want to try to pitch 9 innings. But if at 6 innings I've battled my butt off and I've pitched 107 pitches and the manager says, hey, I'm bringing in whoever, then I'm just like, all right, thank you. And I feel like I did my job. I did my job to my best ability that day. And he said, your day's over, you know?
I also was kind of curious, did y'all like to wear the thick coat whenever you got to run the bases?
No.
I hated it. It's like,
did it make you feel like less of like, a baseball player?
I mean,
the moron got on first base. Let's make sure we show him he's the moron.
Well, that was me, Mike, in the World Series. I got to run the bases.
And the thing is, you don't have
look
a
at
choice.
This guy running around.
Nice like, new jacket.
They just bring out the jacket. They put it on. Do. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to freeze up here in the... I don't know. How long do you expect me to be on the bases?
I mean, they expected a long inning, I guess, because you got on.
Yeah, but you're hoping that the guy hits a single or hits a home run or, you know, like I get it, but eventually I'm going to get into the dugout. It's not, no, it's 15 degrees outside. I get it, but then wouldn't everybody be like, yes. I want a jacket at this point?
From the
yeah, that's the wild thing.
From the 214, since you brought up the Mike Tyson in your videos, if there's a fight, and you run out, but don't really fight or even attempt to, do you get made fun of?
That's a good question.
Like, oh, in the brawls and stuff?
Yeah.
Like,
and you're like, hey!
And obviously we had the incident with Rugi and Batista. I mean, you go into that, first of all, head on a swivel, because I am not trying to get cold clocked by somebody. I don't even know where it's coming from. So, did I say it wrong or something?
Is it cold clocked?
I thought it was
cold cocked.
Cold cocked. Okay. Well, if you want to say it that way, fine.
That is how the expression goes.
Gross. But yeah, I'm just trying to get out there. And at the same time, I want to defend my teammates. If I see somebody start punching, I'm going after that guy. I'm going in that direction. Now, there's a lot of people that were out there that don't get to throw punches. So does everybody get made fun of? No. Now, if you're just sitting there, like if it was me versus whoever, they run out to the bait or to the mound, and all of a sudden we kind of just sit there and just jaw at each other, but we don't swing. Yeah, that's different.
From the 214, for both of you guys, oh how much does a fast base runner distract you as a pitcher?
It does. Now, to the percentage, I guess it matters where you're at in the game. If you're in, let's just say you get past the fifth inning and it's a one-run game or a tie game, I think that there is a concentration factor that you don't want him to get into scoring position. I call it for free. I'm going to give my catcher, I want to give my catcher the opportunity to throw him out, but there is a part of distraction where you got to keep him close and you got to give your catcher the opportunity to throw him out. You don't want to, at least I definitely wasn't good enough. If you're asking Nolan Ryan this question, he'd be like, I don't care. I'm just going to strike out the next three guys.
Sure.
Like that's why they would just still have a big leg lift. You'll see the best pitchers in the game not hold on runners well, and they'll tell you, I don't care. They're not going to score unless I give up a hit.
Yeah, I controlled the running game, I felt like, very well. I have a really good pickoff move, which helps. So, and seeing Trout was, I'm going to use him as the example because we saw him a lot. He was fast. And this is where it stinks now, is the pitch clock plays a factor.
Yeah.
I could slow down as much as I want. I can take my time and make him wait over at first base, but I still have a lot of my attention where it needs to be, and that's at home plate, making the pitch. Because to me, making the pitch is more important than really worrying about him. Because if I make a good pitch and I kept him close with my timing, we get the double play. So that's the big factor. But now it's like I'm going to try to mess up his rhythm and the hitter's rhythm at the same time with the slide step. You know, come set, immediately go. The next one, come set, wait a couple seconds, watch the pitch clock, and a half kick. And then do the same thing again, just mixing it all up. So the pitch clock screws that up big time when it comes out, because now you can't hold the runners as much as you wanted to mess up their timing. Now, I get it. That's probably why the games went longer,
too. That's exactly why, yeah.
So I want to bring something up that people probably don't know, Derek. And with a runner on second and two outs, I don't care if he steals third. My focus and concentration has to be 100%. I don't care if it's Vince Coleman or Ricky Henderson. They're going to score on a single anyways. It doesn't matter if he steals third. I got to make a great pitch to get out of this inning. But it does change if it's first and second and two outs. So now my concentration, yes, I need a lot of concentration on making a good pitch and getting out of this inning. But if I allow the guy from second to steal third, probably the guy from first is going to trail. And now two runs score on a single. So a lot of times a runner on second, I'm going to give my best leg lift to make a great pitch. But if it's first and second, I might slide step. I got to change my holds because I don't want both of those guys to steal because now two guys get on. So there's a big difference on runner on second, two outs. I don't care if he steals third. First and second, two outs, I do care if they both steal because now a runner from first got into scoring position.
I saw this question yesterday. At least one more person has texted it in today. How long does it take to break in a glove, and do you have any particular tips for it?
I say play a lot of catch, but we're playing with catch with people throwing 80 to 100 miles an hour on a consistent basis. That glove's going to break in pretty quickly. And when I say pretty quickly, I would say 2 weeks to a month. But now I want your opinion on that too. I didn't want to do anything like shaving cream or soaking the glove and putting it in a microwave. I just wanted to play catch with it.
I mean, I have a feeling I'm way different than you.
Okay.
I could get a brand new glove, play catch with it twice, and it's ready to go.
Yeah, not
wow.
Me.
I keep the glove fairly stiff. Like that's to me, I don't want it to be flimsy. Nice. So, hey, I've said it the correct way.
Major though. Leaguers, though, are very different from high school players. One, we're throwing a lot harder. The ball's being hit a lot harder. So you don't want what my kids get. Let's just say $150 glove from Dick's Sporting Goods, Rawlings, Wilson. It's a good glove. And they're going to be broken in pretty quickly. We don't want that. At least I don't want a glove that breaks in quickly. I know you're talking about, I would also want a $300, you know, we didn't have to pay for them, but a $300 to $500 glove that's very stiff, but it's going to break in pretty quickly with the guys you're playing catch with. And then if the ball's being hit to you consistently, ground balls, fly balls, that glove's going to break in pretty quick.
I mean, yeah, I got to be able to field my position too. So it can't be super stiff. I just need it to be stiff enough to where my hand, when I do, because I have my glove wide open when I'm doing my pitches out of the stretch and stuff. So I want to keep that open so that it doesn't tip my pitches. Two, that's the other thing too, is I'm just a guy that doesn't like to have it like flimsy as possible. That's just too much.
And then I wanted to throw this out there. I think we've talked about it before and Mike has given us somewhat of a breakdown. What's the team gear situation? Like, do they just drop off, hey, here's your t-shirts, here's your sweatshirts, or do you have to be like, hey, can I get this? Can I get that? How does that work?
Better question for Derek because you've recently played.
Yeah, they have your sizes. That's the thing. They get all your sizes and stuff, and then when you show up to spring training, the normal stuff is in there, a pair of shorts, t-shirt, socks, all that, the basics. And then what happens is once you get there, okay, what do you like? Okay, you like to have a hoodie, and then you also like to have a hoodie with cut sleeves. Okay, we got that, so we're going to give you all that. Like each thing that you like, they find out about you, and then it's always there for you in your locker. Same thing with hats. They wait until you're there, get your hat size, and then they get you all your hats, and that's all set up. All your stuff is already there. It's just due to what your sizing is.
Derek was a real major leaguer with a real major league contract. When I got to spring training, I got what I got, right? Because they're going to be like, you might not be on the team. Right. We're not giving you all this extra gear. The 20 guys with major league contracts that are showing up, get whatever you want in spring training. We know where you're also taking it into April. It's like, hey, you have, for a guy like me in spring training, you're going to have, and most of my spring trainings were in Florida, you're going to have four undershirts because you're going to go through at least two shirts a day, if not all four, because of the humidity and sweating throughout the day. I'm also going to have a hoodie. I'm going to have a jacket. I'm going to have at least one pair of long sleeves. But I can't really go in and ask for more because they're going to be like, dude, you're probably not going to make the team.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Right now, we transition into some Mike Likes It, and we will do so with Rangers Executive Vice President of Ballpark Entertainment, Promotions, and Production. It is Chuck Morgan. Chuck, it's opening day. How we feeling?
We're feeling pretty good. I just did something for a first in history. I did do a toast for all the employees that work here, and a world champion toast. So, and it's a lot of world champion things going on, and it is a great feeling.
Chuck, obviously, for the first time ever, you're going to get to say your World Series champion, Texas Rangers, taking the field. Do you know exactly how you're going to do it and how excited you are? Because I know how excited you were at the parade, and now you get to do this for the first time ever, and then 80 more times.
You know what, Mike? I think it'll be I'll make it pretty simple and be excited about it and say, ladies and gentlemen, you're world champion Texas Rangers. And by that time, we will have introduced the team. We will have dropped a banner, and it's just going to be one solid roar from about 6:15 on.
Chuck, how much more pageantry have y'all had to develop going into this one? Because obviously there's a lot different approach this time.
Well, I think, dropping a banner for the first time is just a huge deal.
Yes.
The other day you start thinking about all the things now that baseball does with the gold uniforms. That's pretty special. We're not through tonight. I mean, on Saturday, for the first time in history, fans are going to get to see Texas Rangers baseball players receive world champion rings.
Wow.
And that's there's some great pageantry right there. I mean, there's going to be 64 people walk out onto the field and they're receiving a world champion ring. And that's I don't know if ceremonies get any better than that.
Chuck, obviously you're getting one. Have you seen it, or are you just going to see it for the first time ever on Saturday?
I think John Blake has set up a thing. I think he's going to do some kind of media event Saturday afternoon, and I'm actually going to receive the first ring so the media can see one before the players get theirs. I haven't seen it. I hear it's quite the look. It's big and it opens up. But that's for right now. That's all I know. But John did tell me it's pretty special.
Not to say that we haven't all been continuously emotional for months and months and months, but you think when you open the box, when you see the ring, it's just all going to come rushing back.
Yeah, and it's going to happen tonight, and it'll happen when I announce the team on Saturday getting their rings. I mean, it's just, when you love something as much as baseball and you love your team and stuff. And I told Mike the other night, I love Mike's passion when he's on TV talking about the Rangers. You're just passionate about things, so I don't want that to go away because it's a pretty good – even though it might – it rides on your emotions, but it's still a pretty good feeling.
Thanks, Chuck.
Chuck, what's the next place that you hope the fans take this this thing to? Because last year, 133 was a pretty amazing thing to add to it. What's the next level for the Rangers fan?
I don't know. That's something I think that they would have to develop. But you're always I watched Yankee games for a long time and Boston games. And, the minute, and Mike can tell you this, the minute the Yankees get two strikes on a hitter, the crowd is on their feet. And that's probably something that's a next level for us. But, man, I can't complain about our crowd. That crowd that we had on that first game of the World Series and Seager hit that home run, I'm not so sure I've ever heard a crowd any louder than that. And then the way that our fans turned out for that parade and celebration was just unbelievable. So I think we're getting there. I think we're pretty close.
Chuck, what's interesting is I was looking at today's all the games that are happening today on opening day, and I know it's been always special. I've always pretty much been here unless I was playing for another team. Opening day seems more special for Texas Ranger fans than any other fans around baseball. And I'm not ragging at all on Arizona Diamondback fans. They're playing Colorado today, and you can get tickets for $30 for their opening day, and they're the National League champs. And whether the Rangers won the World Series this time, went to the World Series, or had a disappointing year the year before, opening day has always been super special for this Metroplex and the Texas Ranger fans. Can you explain why, over the decades, opening day is so important to Ranger fans?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Mike, having lived here a long time, this is just a great sports area. We got great sports fans here. I think after a long winter, I think people are ready for baseball to crank up. I can remember back, though, when I first came here, my first opening night game, we were up against Bi Slamma Jamma in 1983, and my first big league game with the Rangers, we only had 13,000 in the park for opening night. So it was a little rough. But, again, the fans here have supported this franchise for so long and quite frankly, with not the greatest history in the world. I mean, it's just – and they've been great about it, and they've loved the team, and we've just had great support from the time – you know, remember when Nolan Ryan first came here to pitch – that was the first time we had drawn over $2 million in a season. And then he comes back as the club president, and we end up going to the World Series a couple of times. We go over $3 million. So the fans here have just been great. I think, Mike, it's just because we live in a great sports area.
Man, that's dead on there, too. Right here, I just wanted to point this out. Sarah from Rockwall texted in and said, I didn't cry the entire time during the playoffs until I heard Chuck Morgan at the parade ceremony. Then the tears came uncontrollably. And, Kevin, you and I were standing right there.
It was amazing.
We could see Chuck. We were right there next to the statue. We had great seats.
Were Chuck and Jared the most fired up?
Chuck and
parade?
Jared were definitely the most fired up people I'd ever seen. But I just imagine, Chuck, this off season for you, too, has been a lot of people probably been sharing a lot of different stories with you along the way.
Well, I've heard a bunch of them of where people were. And I'll tell you a quick story about that parade situation. You know, I was lucky enough to get to MC the thing on the stage, and I was had four or five questions for every player, and when I gave Seager the microphone, I didn't ask him any questions because he looked like he wanted to say something, and then I backed off, and he started his mic drop thing, and I thought, okay, if I grab him here and ask him a bunch of questions, I will be the biggest idiot in sports. And so I said, you know what? Let's just let him go, and that was it. Hey, good night, everybody. What a great time! But that's the best decision I've ever made in my life.
And I bet Corey Seager was stoked to not have to talk to the public more.
I know, Chuck. I don't want to talk to you.
Now I'm going to kick it over to Derek Holland. I have no idea what he's going to say, but he's got something for you.
Well,
okay.
Chuck, it's very good to hear your voice getting ready for baseball season. That's the one thing. And you did this last year when I was on the radio. And obviously we got to go to the World Series. So I think you need to give us another introduction to opening day. You don't have to use me as your example, but get these fans ready. So can we get that opening segment again?
Oh, you ready to do that? Okay. You just like we're starting out here tonight, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Let's give the fans what they need to hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. It is World Championship Baseball time in Texas. Please welcome number 45, pitcher Derek Holland.
Let's go.
Yes. Ooh,
that's
what we needed.
Pump that directly into my veins all day long. Chuck, thank you so much. Best of luck tonight. I know it's going to be awesome, and so excited for you to get your ring this weekend as well.
Oh, I'm excited about it. And again, thank you all you guys do a great job supporting the Rangers. And again, I thank Mike for his passion for Rangers baseball. And I love Derek Holland. And we're just going to have a good night and celebrate this thing the right way.
Let's go, Chuck.
Boom. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Hey. Chuck Morgan right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Derek, that could have been what it sounded like to start the 2012 season.
Stop
off.
It, you know Mike. What is the matter with you?
I'm just grateful that Chuck said my name because he ain't saying yours. I love you, Chuck.
Because then
thank
the
you.
Cubs would have been really excited today. They'd have been like, this is awesome. We're facing
me.
Mike Bassick. They've been like, we're scoring 45 runs today.
Man. Yeah, you guys. Put up as many as my jersey number.
That was
actually
my ERA, I think, for opening day, 45.
You just killed our mood.
You're a jerk for that, Mike.
Just killed it.
For my ERA?
No.
I'm sorry.
You know why. 940, chills. 325, chills. From the 817, let's effing go. From the 817, let's go. Goosebumps. Heart. Great segment. Chuck Morgan is the man. I love all of it, all of it, all of it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors and former All-Star World Series MVP and Texas Rangers ace Cole Hamels.
Yeah, you said enough there.
Okay,
that's good.
Boom.